Hope you guys enjoy it. This rip was brought to you by our good friends at River. What can I say? Logan, what can I say about River?
They're good.
They're good. They're not only good. One of the best out there. The best in terms of buying Bitcoin, DCAing into Bitcoin. If you're looking to build on the Lightning Network, River has River Lightning Services. You can tap into their API if you're a business looking to incorporate the Lightning Network. But if you're an individual looking to get exposure to Bitcoin, whether you're looking to DCA $5 a day, $5 a week, $50 a week, more than that, thousands of dollars, River's the best place to DCA. They have no fees on their dollar cost average. So if you set it and forget it, you're not going to pay any fees on those buys. They just added limits. So if you want to set a price limit either above or below the current price to initiate a buy, you can now do that on River. They have auto withdrawals. You give them an address. And once you stack enough sats on River, a limit that you determine, they send that to the wallet of your choice. They highly encourage self-custody. They don't want to hold your Bitcoin, but as they do, you can rest easy knowing that it is in a multi-sig cold storage wallet backed one-to-one, fully reserved. So go to river.com/TFTC, set up an account today. You'll get $5 of Bitcoin after your first $100 worth of purchases, Bitcoin purchases. On the app, river.com/TFTC. This rip was also brought to you by good friends down the hall, Unchained. Unchained is here building the financial platform of the future, leveraging Bitcoin's native multi-sig properties. They have their Vault product, which allows you to hold two or three keys, one or three keys, or no keys at all. And they have a multi-institution custody model that they just launched recently. In that model, Unchained holds a key, CoinCover holds a key, Kingdom Trust holds a key. So if you're a big institution, high net worth individual, family office that wants to secure Bitcoin, you're not comfortable with keys, this multi-institution custody model is for you. There's no centralized point of failure. It's a multi-sig wallet where you need Unchained and one of the other institutions assigned to move the funds. They have an IRA product. If you want to roll your IRA into Bitcoin and hold your own keys, you can do that as well. They have an inheritance protocol. They have a lending desk. You can buy Bitcoin and send it straight to your multi-sig cold storage wallet. They're doing it right. They just released or just launched Sound Advisory. So if you're looking for an RIA that actually knows Bitcoin and understands and isn't going to tell you to stay away from it, you can go to Sound Advisory now as well. So go to unchained.com/consultation. Set up a consultation with their consultation team to learn about all of these products, why they do it, how they do it, and how you can get involved. Today, tell them that TFTC sent you. Unchained.com/consultation. This rip was also brought to you by CrowdHealth. It's healthcare enrollment season. And if you're looking for a cheaper healthcare option that isn't health insurance, but will allow you to get cheaper access to healthcare, CrowdHealth is a great solution for that. Me and my family use it. We love it. You pay a monthly fee. When you ever have a health event, you go to the doctor, you get the bill, you give it to CrowdHealth, they negotiate the price lower, you pay the first $500 of that bill, and then the rest gets crowdfunded by the rest of the CrowdHealth community. There's a Bitcoin community within CrowdHealth. You're going to be able to pay your monthly subscription fee in Bitcoin soon. I believe you may be able to do it now, but if you're looking for a cheap healthcare option, you're tired of paying expensive health insurance via your company, or maybe you're unemployed and you want healthcare coverage and you don't want to pay up for insurance, CrowdHealth is a great solution for you. It's a great solution for me and my family as well. So seriously consider it. I would. It's a beautiful thing. Healthy community. JoinCrowdHealth.com/TFTC. Go to JoinCrowdHealth.com/TFTC. Last but not least, this rip was brought to you by our good friends at Bitcoin Talent Co. Bitcoin recruiting agency built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. They're hiring for many of the best firms in the space. Unchained has leveraged them. They can get you C-suite executives. They can get you SDR sales representatives. They can get you engineers. They understand Bitcoin at the protocol level. They understand multisig. They understand mining. They understand Lightning. They are the team to help you build out your roster that's going to help you go build the Bitcoin standard. They have a flex product where maybe you don't need a full-time employee. You don't want to take on all that cost. You're managing your burn rate. But you need a development sprint, a design sprint, a growth marketing sprint. You can tap into their flex product to get some contract work. And then alternatively, if you're looking for a job in the space and looking to come build out the Bitcoin Standard, you should get a profile set up with the Bitcoin Talent Co. team. So go to bitcointalent.co, tell them that TFTC sent you, explore this option. We're going to need as many arms on deck as we rear up for another bull market here. This is not financial advice. Enjoy this rip, freaks. Sticky.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Miles, it's good to see you're okay, sir.
It's good to be back, honestly. Had a little bit of a lovely holiday. I think we're here to talk about it.
Well, that's on you. When did you go? Because you were down here in Austin. I helped you get a car to go down to the border. Gave you a nice hat here for the film. When was that? Was that right before your trip to Afghanistan?
It was a month or two before. I think two months before. So it was very close. Oh, yeah, no idea what was coming, did we?
No. My wife was very worried about you.
I was at London, man. I was more than fine.
You went from our living room to, I was showing her a tweet that you had been taken hostage by the Taliban.
Happens to the best of us, you know what I mean? One day you're just goofing off in Afghanistan trying to open a gold mine. And then the next day, you know, you're just held hostage. It happens to the best of us.
Well, how did it happen?
Well, I just went on a lovely little holiday to Afghanistan, came with two friends, by the way, and one of them betrayed me, so that's a long story. What happened was we were opening a gold mine, we were doing some YouTube stuff, we just started, we bought up some Taliban merch whilst in Kabul, but we're driving back from Jalalabad, and one of my friends are flying out, and I have to pay for rent for the house in Kabul, so I'm kind of a rent sale at this point. So sadly don't own a house in Kabul, because that'll be the title of success. And then I was like, okay, well, I can't use bank cards because the ATMs don't work. That sucks, man. So what I'm going to do instead, I'm going to send myself some money for Western Union. I mean, of course, it got flagged up because it was over $1,000. It was about $1,200, I believe. And that raised some red flags. That's kind of a half year salary there. So it was like if you drew $20,000 from a bank, they'll be like, yeah, why are you doing that though? So at the same time, they brought us in, questioned us. And my best friend at the time, called James, he told the Taliban, just not under duress, just literally, you know, normal discussion with tea on a sofa, hey, Miles might be a spy.
What led him to say that? Have you talked to him since?
I think he's just retarded, man. Yeah, I've spoken to him since. To be fair, we've met him a few times and actually had like a decent time. It's basically I'm going to keep my distance from a business perspective, but everything else, just life, friendship is fine anyway. And he lives far away, so I think it's going to be one of those things where we just keep in touch by sending each other colourful memes every occasionally when we come across it and just occasionally run into each other. But yeah, he just said it because I think either he fumbled. So he just said, I don't know. I think he just panics. Maybe he's not the smartest in terms of social skills. I think he just panicked and thought, throw Miles under the bus, maybe. Or he could maliciously think it's going to save his own skin. But I listened to all your recording and it was like a totally normal conversation. He said, you know, how do you know Miles? How long have you known him for? Did you go to the same university together? Anything else you want to tell us about Miles? Maybe a spy. It's like, so of course, that didn't go down well. And that's the thing, too. You know this, my friend. And I'm sure anyone who's familiar with me knows it. I'm Lord Miles. I'm not Mossad Miles. You know what I mean? I'm not a spy. To work in intelligence, you must have intelligence. And I'm clearly lacking, man. Let's be honest here.
Well, you certainly know how to go on an adventure or two. And that was...
Yeah, it's not hard, man. I mean, to be fair, a drunk guy in a town center could definitely go on an adventure. Same struggle, really. But yeah. I've got access to passports, so.
I mean, this might be the biggest fumble we're throwing your friend under the bus situation I've ever heard of. You're getting interrogated by the Taliban and you.
Oh, I'm going to win the long term. So he apologized after I told him I found out. You know, he was very upset. I felt very guilty. The thing is, too, he didn't sign the exclusivity deal for the gold mine contract. And the area we're looking at has, confirmed by US census data when they did the geological surveys, $200 million worth of gold. So even, you know, if he was involved, you know, it could be something good, but those, that betrayal as well. And I basically said, if you transcribe anything for me in the future, I have X, Y, and Z on you. I've got you saying the gamer word, you know what I mean? A bunch of slurs and stuff on audio recording, just in case I need to press the red button for nuclear option. So don't screw me over again. Like, I know you did this by mistake, potentially, but you didn't own up to it until I told you about it. You know, if you try and do anything again, I'm not having it. Your life will be over. You'll lose your PhD. You'll lose your job. All this other stuff. I like to take no chances with some people.
Yeah, well, if he's going to throw you under the bus like that, you got to check your six and make sure you're covered. But
yes, man.
So you were... How would you describe it? Were you held captive? Were you held? Were you retained for 8 months?
Yeah, I was detained. I would say formally arrested, because it was like a formal arrest process. He said, "Okay, we're thinking of this." They went through some loads of questioning for like 2 or 3 days, and then in the end, they concluded, "Okay, we thought Miles was a weapons dealer between Afghanistan and Ukraine, because Miles keeps going to Ukraine." It was just for journalism. They thought I was buying up US weapons and selling them in Ukraine. And Russian intelligence sent that to the Taliban saying, "Hey, we want to check this guy out if he comes back." And they were like, "Yeah, he's definitely not a weapons dealer. There's no evidence of it. It doesn't make any sense." And then they were like, "Okay, what else? Oh, yeah, he's not a spy." So after a while, they interrogated me for a few days on that. They were like, "Miles, we know you're a spy. Just sit down. Tell us what you do. Show us a few documents and we'll let you go. We don't want to waste resources on you." I was like, "I'm not a spy, man." And they were like, "Actually, Miles, we know you're a spy, 100%. We actually want to learn off you, teach us, and then, we'll let you go. That's a fair exchange. We'll even pay you, potentially." I'm like, "No, all good. I'm not a spy, man, seriously." And then it went to, "Oh, we know you're a spy. Just give up the act. We understand you have to do that for training. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck here for years for a legal process, but we know you're a spy. You might get a way worse penalty. Just admit it and say, yeah, it's part of the game. We respect that and we'll let you go in like a few months." I'm like, "Nah, spy." So in the end, they concluded, "Oh, Miles isn't a spy. He's not a weapons dealer." The only thing they had me on was I went to the gold mine sites. It was a remote area and it's a mountain. I didn't have a permit to go there. So that's generally my fault. I do apologize to that. So I shouldn't have that permit. But they were like, "Not a permit, but we got to do everything by the book. So minimum sentence, we'll give him that minimum sentence and keep him as comfortable as possible. 6 months, easy."
So it's 2 months of figure out what the hell's going on and then...
Yeah, 2 months of... No, 2 months of paperwork with the British government.
What was the British government doing on their end while this was all going on?
Oh, they're trying to contact people, so... The British government doesn't have a relationship with the Taliban at all. There's no embassy, even though the EU embassy does have that. But ever since Brexit happened, there's a spy relationship. So they've got like a few Taliban contacts. So we randomly just call WhatsApps and just see how far they can get it. Like, you know, if we can get into Moses' link. And then I told them, I was like, "Oh, hey, Foreign Office, how are you doing? Anyway, the guy you just spoke to was like the head of foreign intelligence." And they're like, "Wait, was he? We don't have that on file. What's the guy's name?" And I'm like, "Oh, screw me." You know, it's bad when they have no idea who they're talking to. You can look up a WhatsApp name and Google it. It comes up with that guy. So I'm there like, I think I'm going to be here a little while, because anyone who works in government, as you can imagine, man, I think you relate here. Anyone in government has no intuition and no just common sense at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's pretty universal. No matter what country you're in, what government you're working with, there seems to be a steady level of incompetence.
Yeah, it's a struggle, man. So after that happened, I was like, "Okay, I'm going to chill." But after all the interrogations and stuff, I got taken into this tropical garden area in the back of the headquarters. And there was peacocks around. There was like, you know, just a bunch of grass, beautiful trees, fruit growing everywhere. And I sat in the gazebo with the commander, and there was tea, and there was some nuts, and like Western food. I was like, nice, can I have some? He's like, yeah, of course, man, this is for you. And they go, oh, we want to keep you comfortable, Mars. We actually want you to do business here. We learned who you are. Turns out half our guys follow you on Twitter because they think you're chill. You're kind of cool, I guess. And I was like, thanks, man. I think you're cool too, you know? And they were like, actually, yeah, we like what you do. If you want to write a second book, which we read your first one, just, we think that's nice. If you want to write a second book, you absolutely can. We'll give you paper and pens, no problem. You could be completely honest. We just ask that you be honest 100% throughout. I go, yeah, I can definitely do that. Anything else you want? When you're arrested, we can give you some stuff. All right, so you're arrested with $1,000. Here's $1,000 spending money. So you just give it to some of the guards or ask to go to the market and you get supervised. Anything you want, man. And he also said, like, oh, yeah, you want your laptop? I was like, yeah, I want my laptop. Hell yeah, that'd be great. So I was buying movies from the market on USB stick, and I was watching the new Barbie with the Taliban, Titanic, Rambo 3, 80s and 90s classic shooters, everything, man, every meme movie I had downloaded, all this other stuff. And the thing is, too, so I didn't tell you where I was staying. I was staying in a guest house. It wasn't a formal prison because it was like minimum security stuff, like a small crime, small prison, you know? It was just a converted house with a locked door. It was chill. It was quite nicely furnished, too, for the standards of the place. And I was just enjoying myself. So in there, I was just chilling, watching movies with the Taliban, had loads of books downloaded. They gave me a Bible. So that's my situation beginning, man.
Was there any point where you worried you weren't going to get out?
Yeah, you know, my first phone call to my friend, he told me my best friend had died. You know, the one who fumbled and lied about me being a spy?
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, oh, you're a friend. I'll keep him nameless. But he was like, the other guy who's with you, he hasn't responded to any of our messages. And he just went into a surgery way before. And apparently he had a falling out, which he didn't disclose. So he said, oh, he went in for a surgery that was like very urgent. And he has died. Like something's happened. We haven't heard from him. We think he's dead. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, it's terrible. But I was like, I can process that. No problem. But that's a downer, you know. Turns out he's completely alive. So I found that out, like, you know, when I got back. That was very interesting. So I actually hung out with him today, a lovely chap. He's coming back to Afghanistan, me. But that was a very stressful thing. Oh, the other stressful thing too. I had like $20 that I haven't paid on my American Express at that point. So 8 months in Afghanistan, they're like sending me emails every single day. They even took it to a debt collection agency for $20. And I sent them an email when I got my phone. I got supervised. They were like, emails, if you need to send an email for some financial stuff, we understand you run a business. And I was like, Hey, American Express, Google my name. I'm in Taliban prison. Anyway, gotta go. But, give in a hold. I can afford the $20, trust me. And the service guy was just laughing. The Taliban were laughing their asses off too. And they were like, oh, can you send it now? I'm like, no, not really. But if I go to Western Union, I can send you the $20, you know, if you get one of these staff to go out. So I was more worried about my credit score, no matter what. That was my thing too. I'm in the globalist mindset, man. I'm more worried about my credit score than I was about being held in custody by the Taliban because I was treated so well. It wasn't so.
So you're treated well. They gave you a Bible.
Yeah, man. They said, we have no problems with Christians. We would obviously like them to be Muslim, but like, you know, fair enough. They were like, yeah, we get Christians. They're chill. And I was like, what about the other religions? And he's like, they're like, ah. I'm like, yeah, I don't like the Israelis or the Jews either. And they just burst out laughing. And we moaned about atheists too. That's a joke, you know.
Well, that's like one of the big questions I have because there was a lot of tweets. There was, what was that account? Like the Taliban news agency.
Yeah, the tweeting Taliban out. Account. I was to say, if you have some brain cells, obviously, I can't tell you my interactions with him, but he's obviously not an Afghan dude, definitely not Taliban. He's not in Afghanistan. Yeah, he's obviously a satire account. Somehow he got verified and news sites are referencing him. I think that's hilarious, man. Props to him.
Yeah. Well, people thought it was news. I had people texting me, sending Twitter threads, particularly the one where he announced that it was likely that you were dead. People thought you were dead over here for 2 or 3 months.
No, man, I've never been alive. That's the thing. I was like, when, a few months ago, I was like, yeah, this sucks a little bit. I would rather obviously be going on adventures and stuff. However, I was like, however, this is bloody lovely. I'm like, this could be a great story when I get out. Oh, this could be such a book. It's just like an unexpected mandatory adventure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the thing too. If I ever get bored of normal life, if I get so stressed out and so sleep deprived, I might go to prison for something on purpose because it seems quite cushy, to be fair. Prison actually is quite nice because think about it. No responsibilities that would cause problems beyond just general shop and self-maintenance and gym. Screen detoxes. You could read as much as you want, so a limited books and stuff, a limited social time, basically like gym hustle culture. I don't want to say no women. That's like a bonus, but at the same time, yeah, obviously, you can't live without them too. You hate them, but you love them. Yeah, man. Just prison maxing.
Prison? Did you get your prison swell on?
My prison swell, yeah, man. I actually got quite big at one point. So I'll send you a photos too, but is this live, by the way?
No.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was going to bloody hell. Yeah, so I'll send... Wait about that. I'll send you a photo. As you can see right here, man, I am swole as hell in prison. I started doing stances, and the Taliban saw this, and they were like, oi, he's got a little bit of size on him. He's doing quite well. So some of the lads are actually quite lean too, because they haven't been in the mountains for 2 years. They're just sitting in the houses, just walking around, delivering things sometimes. Some guys are going a little bit chubby. Some dudes are ripped as hell, but, you know, that's like an exception anywhere. So when I bought some weights as well, and the Taliban kindly gave me some exercise equipment, which did with anyone if you ask, if you have minimum security. You can just work out. And I was working out for the Taliban in the morning, so I was teaching them, like, hey, this is how you do this proper form, this is how many you do, and this is how many times you do it in a day, I mean, that's how much you're doing in a week, and this is how you cycle between all this other stuff. And at one point, one dude actually got pretty jacked from that stuff, so I guess I was training the Taliban. Just not militarily. Oh, it's so silly, man. I love it. I love how absurd it is, dude.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get at here is there were these like public, whatever is the fake Twitter account or whatever it may be, like when it first came out, I believe there was people saying they were using you as hostage material for leverage and negotiations. And obviously you got set free. It seems like You're perfectly fine. You were treated relatively well, I guess. Number one, when did you know that you were going to get out? And what was the feeling when you found out? And then number two, like, what are some of the common misconceptions that people have of the Taliban, how they operate?
Yeah, of course, man. First thing is, I was definitely the best treated prisoner in Taliban history. And what was the first one? Sorry.
When did you know you were going to get out? What was that feeling?
Yeah, like? So it was honestly the day before. So they came up to me. And they were like, hey, Miles, pack all your stuff. And I was like, how come? Like, what's going on? Am I being transferred somewhere else? He was like, nah, we think you're getting released. We don't have official orders because we're not those guys. We're just the grunts. But yeah, we think you're being released, man. I'm like, oh, crap. I was like, I was freaking out because it was 2 months over the prescribed 6 month thing. So I was freaking out thinking, ah, dear, man, I'm not going to be, it's turning into something else, whatever. And then they were like, yeah, we saw you have a paperwork with the British government. They just weren't responding to us very quickly. So I was like, oh, bloody hell, man. You know, it's bad when the email back and forth is that slow. So I packed all my stuff. I said goodbye to all the other people in the house, and they were chilled. I had some, like, there was some Afghan CIA people that introduced themselves to me. They were like, oh, I'm CIA. I'm like, that's cool, whatever, bye. And some Iranian intelligence, there was, like, some smugglers. There was one American dude who was crazy as hell. That was quite funny. I'll tell you that story as well. And I got taken to another room, and he gave me a military escort at this point too, and I got to sit at the back of the truck too, so I was chilling. And then in this room, they had, like, a little party, a little bit of feast. They handed back my phone, and they were like, oh, yeah, lovely phone you've got. You know, pleasure to meet you. We're taking selfies. We're just cheering. But, like, Miles, we actually hoped you'd get out sooner. You know, obviously, we're not the big boss. I'm like the big boss, but not the top guy that decides this stuff. It's a whole different department for obvious reasons. But we would have released you as soon as we could. Very sorry about this, but we kept you very comfortable. We hope you've been well. Hope the situation hasn't been too bad. You know, any feedback for us? You know, this type of stuff too. They were very caring, and they actually did focus on my needs. So I was like very happy with that. And then he said, yeah, tomorrow morning we're going to take you to the airport, and then you get to that moose. I was looking forward to that. And what's the next question, my friend?
So you knew you were getting out. Like, what are some of the misconceptions? Because it is...
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, so everyone thinks if you go to Afghanistan or meet the Taliban, they're going to be just some dudes with a thick eyebrow just staring you down, you know, death stare. And there's going to be some typical music that plays in the background that you see in Hollywood movies that forebodes a bad situation in, like, one of these countries. You know what I mean? It's like one of the scenes where a guy in a turban is just staring at someone, and then, we've all seen those scenes, like Black Hawk Down and all that. Now, these guys are chill, to be fair. Lads are lads anywhere, right? You go to Austin, you go to New York, you go to England, you go to Afghanistan. Lads just hang out, goof off, and make friends with each other and do silly jokes. I was with a group of them in a guest house that I was staying in. And there was like a group of 8 Taliban. I learned all their names. I learned a little bit Pashto. They knew some English after a while. We just made jokes with each other, just trying to cheer each other up if we had a bad day, if they had bad days. At some point, we watched movies together. Everywhere in the world, people are just people at the end of the day. And some people are screwed up, but the Taliban just actually are the real government now. So basically, you can just go there and have a decent time and not have to worry. They don't mind tourists and foreigners, as long as you obviously don't break any law. It's probably best to go with a tour guide anyway, if you're not doing business. And the other misconception is, you know, they're very backwards and stuff like this. They were on TikTok, they were on YouTube, they would listen to my music a little bit, just have curiosity for like a few seconds. So they like ABBA and System of a Down. What else? They also like the movies too. This type of stuff, they just got into. Like, they're not obviously westernized fully, which is never going to happen. But these guys are chill. Like, it's a whole different world, but they're just people at the end of the day.
Why do you think they'll never be fully westernized?
I mean, why? It's just, Western side is just at its, like, current state is kind of gay, man. Like, I'm not being funny, it's kind of messed up. It kind of retarded, a little bit silly and whimsical, man. Like, I'm seeing kind of early days of Weimar Germany. You know, it's like, I see all this complexity stuff, and I just, do you ever see a point where the Taliban would just accept international monetary policy, and then you know, the fucking feds and interest rates and stuff like that? I mean, I have a mortgage, I mean, they have backed securities, and I'm like, no, I don't think they see what's going on, how complex all the bureaucracy is and all that nonsense infrastructure that just takes up so much time and energy. Just have like a basic system that's peer-to-peer. Like, they go keep on with their traditional values, and they have little pockets of modern stuff for people that are into that. And everyone's happy, to be fair. The whole idea is, too, they've now got their country back. But obviously, there is a CIA presence there that hire local Afghans. There's, like, Pakistani ISI, so Pakistani intelligence is there. Just whole different groups that are there in Afghanistan trying to cause them some trouble, or at least they aren't invited, to be fair. So the Taliban, like, okay, security first, and then freedom's a little bit later. You know, then we get to loosen it up. Same with South Korea when it was first formed. It was a rough dictatorship, and everyone thought it was going to fail. And then after a while, they got everything sorted out. They slowly branched out, and then became a nice little place.
Yeah, so do you think, like you mentioned, somebody from the CIA was there, Pakistani intelligence. Do you think all these actors see a power vacuum that they want to take advantage of?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, people do try and cross the border into Afghanistan, but they do get caught. For example, when I was sitting and having tea with the commanders and having a picnic with them, the Taliban came out at one point, and they said, "Oh, someone's come here. Someone's been arrested." And I see one guy walking through the door. He looks like a typical Afghan. So I start shaking his hand, and they go, "Miles, no, don't shake his hand. That's a member of ISIS." I'm like, oh, fuck, okay. I just shook a member of ISIS's hand. Like, yeah, these guys are monsters, Miles. They're not accepting Afghanistan. This guy was trying to climb over the border from Pakistan. We caught him. ISIS is no longer a problem in Afghanistan. Everything we do, we control because we hear from people to people. So right now, we're just trying to sort out our homeland, and then we can start branching out into other things and, you know, seeing how far we could push the freedom thing. But generally, yeah, it was just like that, basically.
Yeah. And you want to go back?
Yeah, in 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
What does the UK government say about all this? Do you have to interact with them a lot? Because I remember the first time you were on, you were describing that they check in with you.
Yeah, so when I get to Dubai, so I've been on their call like 3 or 4 times. I think I called them like 6 times during my detention. So when I get to Dubai, there's some women waiting for me. They're like, are you okay? Are you fine? Are you safe? You'll be okay now. It's all good. And I understand what you might have said might be under duress, you know? And I'm like, no, a lovely holiday to be fair. I'm going back in a few weeks. Anyway, I've been invited by the Taliban. Anyway, can I fly straight to Palestine? Like, I don't want the trip back to England. Can we transfer it to Palestine? I'll pay for it myself, actually. And they would say, like, holy shit, he's gone. Good treatment. He talks his way into good treatment. He has not learned his lesson. He's going to keep on going because you can never go too far, 100%. And they're like, when they learned of my story, they were like, actually, dude, that's kind of impressive. We don't want to admit it. But whatever this is, it could be a good thing. So keep on going. I'm just dreading the day they interview me at an airport again. Because when I flew out to Romania to meet Andrew Tate, I was expected to be screened and, you know, finger up the ass or something like that, and debriefed and talked about for 3 hours. But when that happened, man, I just didn't happen. I got to the airport and no one was waiting for me. And I was like, that's weird, okay. And then he just let me fly, and I've flown about 4 or 5 times since. So it's very bizarre. I honestly think they just don't care at this point. But I'm dreading the day they do care, because if they try and make me do something I don't want to do, I'm going to be very pissed off. I'm going to say no, of course, but I don't know how they could mess up my life, maybe. You know, if I refuse to do their stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. You're a very interesting character, Lord Miles.
Thank you, man. Well, that's one way to put it, to be fair. Yeah, man, I think if we had a psychologist on one day, she would be like, fucking fascinating. He's like retarded. And like there's spikes of intelligence, and he's just really goofy and whimsical. And we don't have the sword for this. It's a whole new category.
Well, exactly.
You want to save me, by the way, dude, you want to save me? So at 1.2, you know, the Taliban were like, okay, Miles, you're running about $1,000. Because I thought I was going to be over 6 months, so I timed it. So I started running out towards the end. And they were like, you can send yourself money. And I was like, okay, well, we can't do it through bank accounts because they're all shut off from Afghanistan. And you can't do it through Western Union because I was just arrested for doing that. So that's going to raise some red flags. Can't do cash because I don't have cash in Afghanistan. And then I bought crypto. And you know what I did? I logged into HTX. That's what I use. I use a few HTX accounts. And I sent myself about $2,000 that I was going to collect. And then I got released, thankfully. So perfect timing. I was going to buy myself like gym equipment and all this other stuff. I've actually started running, baiting the place even better. But yeah, man, crypto is just, it got sent easily. There's fixes and stuff. Like there's some people who just use it to get money in and out of Afghanistan, no problem. And it's always kind of like tolerated, if that makes sense.
You're tolerated by the Taliban?
Yeah, so it's illegal in Afghanistan, but I think it's still tolerated. So I know some big people do use crypto to get money in and out. But if you get caught doing something dodgy, obviously they throw a crypto charge on there if you are using crypto. So it's one of those things of, hey, it's illegal, but, you know, just don't mess around. You can sell some easy money if needed. It's all good. So I found a way to get that into cash. I'm very happy right there. And I got paid pretty much all my internship for my podcast in crypto. So I'm very happy, my friend.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. But Bitcoin particularly, there's a large sect of Muslim Bitcoiners who are putting forth that like Bitcoin is actually the only Sharia compliant monetary system in the world, where they would argue that.
One struggle, man. One struggle. Yeah, I have no idea about the like the pillars of Islam in terms of monetary funding and stuff like that. But yeah, if it works, it works, man. It's open, it's free. It's the whole de-Americanization type thing. I'm not really into that, but I understand it. It's just nice to have like easy, quick money without paying stupidly high taxes and be able to send it wherever I want.
Yeah, the peer-to-peer distributed cash system seems to be a good idea. Traps a lot of value. No, yeah, but going back to like you're this anomaly, traveling the world, going to the border here in the U.S., Afghanistan multiple times, Snake Island, plans to go to where, Seminole Island?
Yeah.
Sentinel Island.
Darien Gap. I've been to front lines of Ukraine a few times. Fall of Kabul, that was the first big one. It's good, man. It's a lovely holiday. You know, the Taliban invited me back to go to Tora Bora. Do you know about that place?
No.
So that's where the caves where Bin Laden was before he fled to Pakistan. So he was there with pretty much the whole of his coalition. So there's this huge network of caves. But they're not dangerous, but it's just like you need a tour guide to show you around because they're all caves. And they've got some like stuff left behind there. Just like tables and stuff that have been like left to rot. But it's a fascinating piece of history. So I asked the Taliban about it. And they say, sure, brother, when you come back, if you come back, God willing, we'll take you to Tora Bora. And you get to make the YouTube video. We'll give you some security, a convoy. We'll take you there for the day. We'll make a great video. You'll have a lovely holiday. I'm like, hell yeah, my friend. And they're like, we want to give you some reassurances that you're allowed back, Miles. Here's a certificate. And you know what that certificate said, man?
What?
Miles is an honorary member of the Mujahideen. He cannot be stopped, searched for military checkpoints. He cannot be stopped to military checkpoints either. He cannot be detained without authorization from this commander who's authorizing this whole thing. If anyone stops Miles' mission beyond checking the validity of this document by calling this number, they will be arrested themselves, basically. It's just like access all areas in Afghanistan. It's like, if you want to do business here, you know, that's like, you do what you want unless if you just do something very, very dodgy. Actually, just do anything dodgy, really. It's just make life easy for you type of pass. They could give me one of those, I've been told. Bloody amazing. One of the guys talked about giving me citizenship at some point. Now, you know what? I'm really tempted to do that, man. I'm really tempted to get Afghan citizenship and go down to a university, like a top university, like Oxford or Cambridge. And then just go to the admissions office and go, hey, man, I'm kind of retarded. I can't read or write, but I am an Afghan. I'm a minority. Give me a degree. Let me take a degree out. Give me a scholarship too. Actually, give me a bursary. Actually, give me like extra help. Actually, adjust my grades from like a C to a B plus. You know what I mean? And they'll be like, oh, we'll give you a PhD, man. You're a minority. You know how it is. It's like, you know, we've seen the statistics that some people get in when they shouldn't do race. It's just cringe, man.
Yeah, I mean, that happens here in the U.S. a lot. And,
yeah.
I mean, we had news today, that manifesto from the transgender woman, I believe, who shot up the school in Nashville. Her manifesto leaked at least the first few pages. And it's not surprising that they wanted to keep that under the wraps because it's become pretty abundantly clear that the brainwashing of the woke elite here in the U.S., is what led to that attack, if the manifesto is legit, which it seems to be.
Most manifestos are just copy and pastes and poorly written ones from other manifestos. But that sounds unique, so that could be something amazing to read. So how much got leaked, by the way?
All of this was just... Logan, do you know? I think it was like the first three pages of a multi-100-page manifesto.
Amazing. So it's a man, so people are going to want it.
It's basically like white people are bad. I want to kill all the white children, which is terrible. It's absolutely disgusting what happened. But it's
white people are the best, man. Honestly, this person is just kind of retarded.
Yeah, no, it's scary. I mean, like on a serious note, like the indoctrination of this woke mindset. And that's why they wanted to keep the manifesto under wraps, because it's becoming abundantly clear that it is actually affecting people's psychology and. Oh, yeah. How they go and act in the world.
Yeah, they only got highlighted if it's bad stuff, to be fair, but there's this growing understatement. Most people in the world are very doomed on this whole situation. I look around England, the mass immigration stuff. and I'm a doomer on it, and you guys are doomers on the Mexicans. You're like, yeah, they got to slow take over and move up north. But honestly, we have seen what can change in a few years in history. You know, how whole empires can be overturned, societies can be restarted within a lifetime. I think we'll see some good changes. I'd really hope so. So thankfully, things I think will be moving in the right direction against these demonic people, let's be honest. They're part of its own mindset. And we know who are pulling the strings.
No, I agree. That's why we focus on Bitcoin. And it is a tool of optimism to build a better future. No. And then on top of that, I think the discomfort that people are feeling due to inflation and coming to the understanding that the incumbent financial system is completely borked is beginning to wake people up. And I think I'm optimistic as well. Things are pretty scary out there if you look at them through a certain lens, but there's also opportunities to make the world a better place. And you just have to believe that you can do it and go try to do it.
You can, one step at a time. People just don't have a grand plan to change the world, but just having, if you just head the right direction, some crazy things happen. Like, for example, I could have just been pissy during my whole situation, Taliban detention, but I'd be invited back to open the gold mine, to do business on YouTube. I made tons of friends. I got a great story. I'm best treated detention prisoner in Taliban history. Like, I know it's not a great title to have, but it's like, it's notable. It's a Lawrence of Arabia maxing. Have some great stories about stuff. Some people just don't realize you got to take those baby steps first. And speak of baby steps too, so I have some crypto and I was like, actually, I want to turn this into a balance on my Amazon so I can spend some stuff. Found a way to get into gift cards without giving any identity or information. And now it's just like, you know, I've ordered $1,000 worth of stuff from Amazon that I need. Just peer-to-peer, just no problem.
Yeah.
I love crypto, man. You're right. I didn't take it as seriously as I should have after your last show. And there's people probably watching that thinking, oh, you know, just crypto, yeah, I'm just going to listen to it but not actually implement it. You need backups, man. Like, not even backups. Like, crypto is just a clear winner if you want to be low tax or, you know, something a bit lower than that. Liquidity is just sell order, goes through pretty much instantly. Send it to a wallet. Keep it physically on a cold wallet or actually, like, you know, just on an account somewhere, on an exchange. It's perfect. Literally, just perfect. Don't get screwed over if you have like a decent exchange. Like when I was with HTX, provide no information, could just transfer wherever. Solid. Even Coinbase now, I had to use Coinbase to get some money to my business bank account. And it just gets withdrawn instantly. I'm like, holy crap. Usually we take 3 to 5 days. Sometimes it takes like 1 day. This was 5 seconds. Whoa.
Yeah, no, it's crazy how good it's getting, but the government's recognized that. They're going to try and shut it down. The UK actually just implemented some laws. They're going to make it very hard for users to send crypto between each other, Bitcoin between each other. VPN. But that's, I mean, the point I'm trying to get at is, like, even you in Afghanistan, like, people don't want a Westerner sending money to Afghanistan over the traditional rails, and the governments will probably get mad. If you're doing it over Bitcoin, I'm sure your transactions may come up in some terrorist financing stats using IP addresses and Bitcoin that's flowed to Afghan IP addresses or something like that. But I think your use case here of buying gift cards to get access to goods, to weights while you're in prison, I mean, it's a perfect anecdotal data point of, yes, you can be sending Bitcoin into the borders of Afghanistan, but you're using it to buy good things, the crime.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, whoa, he's buying a gym equipment, he's training an army. No, MI6 headquarters thinking that. No, the thing is too, I'm going through the gold mine, and the one bloody thing I'm good at is investments and investment banking in general. So I put together, I've got a chief advisor at the moment. And we're approaching pretty much global institutional banks and institutional systems. I can't name who. And obviously some mega corporations and some... I can't name. I'll tell you afterwards, by the way. But, you know, you're going to love this when I do tell you. I'm approaching these people and they're just saying, okay, if we go through these big companies, we have a legal power to obviously not get screwed over. by them saying we're financing the Taliban, which obviously not. The Chinese can get away with it too because they're backed by obviously powerful people. So it could just be done as long as we make friends of these people and just say, yeah, we're just doing this to keep Afghanistan stable and provide some money and the infrastructure and you guys get gold, which is the West wants me to probably open a gold mine in Afghanistan due to the fact that China is up north and the whole Belt and Road Initiative is like, basically it's like African colonization all over again. So the Chinese obviously want all the mineral rights for their manufacturing. The US is losing the mineral war. So honestly, there's a lot of very interested people that want to work with me with the gold mine just because it means, you know, if we get that $200 million worth of available, easily dug up gold, that's a high grade purity, like 16 grams per ton. You know, it's like, you know, they can make problems disappear.
Power big business too. If the price of gold pumps, like some people think it's gonna,
some people think it's gonna sanction people if they have something they do not like. If you just start suddenly, you know, joining the Taliban and threatening the West or whatever. But just doing business there, there's no problem. There's a way around it. Most times, the people that would flag up the alert, you become friends of them and go, "Oh, this is what we're doing. We're just setting this up, and this is the whole thing, and this is how useful it could be for stability. So let it slide." And they generally do.
This is the way you get peace in the world. You just do business, good business. Everybody makes money one way or another, whether it's via tax revenue or just pure profits from a business, the free market solving peace problems. And he's gone. He's going to say,
"What happened there? Oh dear, my bad."
We caught everything. But the point I was going to get to on this note with the gold mine is like, it would be very funny if Lord Miles creates peace between Afghanistan in the West by building a profitable gold mining business. That's
a good thing too. The Taliban even said to me, like, "Miles, you go do some business here. That's really appreciated. Like, we've not really had too much, to be fair, of interest from the West, which we do want." But Afghanistan's open for foreign investment. They're actually very eager for this stuff and they're very accommodating, which I found during my situation, even though I should have obviously just been treated like a normal prisoner. But they're like, "Yeah, we can help you out." And to be fair, it could honestly create some peace because that's how you set up stuff. So we're going to set up a fund as well for the people of Afghanistan to help out with infrastructure and stuff. I can't go into too much detail, but it's bridge building things. Like, the Americans went in there instantly, like bombing some stuff. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of a badass thing to do, but at the same time, it didn't have the best long-term outcome. If I was part of, you know, the US government in 2001, I would just be like, "Hey, I'll give $1 billion to the warlord who brings me Bin Laden, and whoever does, we'll just stick him in a prison in Afghanistan with joint supervision between the Taliban and, you know, our side. And then as well, we could rebuild the country a little bit. We'll help you guys out. We'll give you some direction. We'll find common ground." And that's what I'm trying to do, man. Like, we just kind of understood each other in the end. And I just said, like, "Yeah, I want struggle to fail. I want a gold mine. You guys want a foreign investment. I am famous, so I can obviously advertise that Afghanistan is open for business. If I find that the gold mine goes smoothly, win-win. No problem, man."
Yeah. You think there's a world in which everybody can do business with each other, get along peacefully, just leave each other alone?
No. No, man. Otherwise, we would have, "Oh, IOU, XYZ, and it'll all be mental banking because there's that much trust." Hell no. It's always going to be constant wars. And to be fair, it's good for my business too, so I get to pop down to those places. It's just going to be a bunch of wankers just fighting over things and old alliances falling apart and, you know, just things changing. We've seen Ukraine just pop off, even though Russia and Ukraine are brothers due to outside factors. It's just really silly, isn't it? Same with Azerbaijan, Armenia, Ethiopia and Egypt. Yeah, same old scenarios.
Azerbaijan stuff got swept under the rug pretty quickly.
Yeah, they just don't know what's going on, man. Because most people don't give a shit. Most people can't even point to Azerbaijan or Armenia on a map. If I tell someone, I've told a few Americans too that, "Oh, there's a country called Georgia." I'm like, "No, it's just a state." I'm just like, look at the state of your mental capacity, silly woman. Like, it's not just a state. Like, what are you talking about? It's a country, clearly. Like, I was like, you've never heard of George, you've never heard of, like, you know, it's easiest place to do banking in this area of the world, non-CRS until January 2024. You know, you set up a bank account literally day one and have a card printed on the same day. That's a great situation for, like, diversification. And plus, like, it's a famous XYZ, blah, blah, blah. But some people just have never heard of these places. So showing a place on a map you've never heard of, now the news couldn't pull it off, man. And plus, there was too much money made in Ukraine and Gaza. They only care about what moment they can make their margins. Because they're a bunch of wankers.
Yeah, well, that's another meme that's going around Twitter this week. I'm not sure if you saw, but Mr. Beast putting those water wells. I think he built like 100 water wells in Africa. And the meme is like the UN has been in Africa trying to, quote unquote, make these people's lives better for 76 years and have produced zero water wells. And yet this YouTube star just goes and creates 100 wells in a week. Yeah. And going back to like just do business and interact with these people in a way that's...
deal of government. I honestly just think it's a huge money laundering scheme. 100%, man. The money just disappears. Have you seen the cost breakdowns for some military equipment abroad during some wars? Like, for example, a helicopter in Iraq was quoted of having a bolt, like it's a normal bolt, that would cost $20,000, and a hammer for one part cost, I think it was like $900 for us to hammer.
Yeah.
So it's like, clearly it's just money laundering, man. Like, I don't blame them, but it's just comically obvious, you know? I mean, at least try and put some effort into your grift, you know?
Yeah, it's comically obvious and also frustrating because they can launder as much money as possible, but you can't Venmo your friend $600 without having to report it to the IRS.
Oh, yeah, no, that's terrible. I've seen that happen, too. Have you had to deal with PayPal recently as well?
I have not. I have not used PayPal in some time.
Yeah, man, I have to use it sometimes just to kind of get money to my bank account. It's the only way that I can work it out. I sold this one item that I had a while back. It was $2,000 I got for it personally. Like some old, it was like a book I collected. It was like first edition, so I sold it. And I said, oh, it's going to be on hold for 14 days. And you provide proof of purchase for the item that you had. And you need to take a photograph of it. And you need to scan your face. I'm like, fuck off. You know what I mean? Like, if I wanted to do some dodgy stuff for money, I would just hand it physically. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm not going to be doing it for PayPal, my dude. You guys are not liable. Like, do you remember when it first came out, you just send money. And then it's received. And it's like, is it, if it's a stupid amount, they'll call you up and go, oh, why is it? And you go, not drugs. And they go, oh, okay, no problem. That was a better world, man. That's why I used PayPal, because it actually worked. It was your payment pal. You know, it's your friend. But no. Oh, they just won't release my money sometimes. Then they release it, and then, it's just BS, man. Why should I have to work with that? It's more effort than it's worth.
Yeah, everybody's guilty until proven innocent these days.
Yeah. I'm so tired of people being treated like that, man. It's like that all around the world. At least with the Taliban, they were just like, you know, they treated me well. And as she said, yeah, Miles, we don't think you are, but we have to check. You have to do our due diligence, blah, blah, blah. In the West, they just shout at you and go, oh, terrorist, and then just like imprison you for 60 days or something.
Yeah.
We have horror stories in America, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty disconcerting. And as they lose control of the financial system, they'll only clamp down harder and harder. I mean, the CBDC, who knows if they'll be able to roll it out successfully, but that is the ultimate guilty until proven innocent technology right there.
Yeah. When did they create the digital dollar? I hope it flops, man. I hope they make it flop somehow.
They're setting the wheels in motion with that. They got FedNow here. Christine Lagarde over in Europe came out and announced the digital euro is in the preparation phase. So they're going to try it rolling out. But I have hope. We need to make fun of these people.
I like physical euro. I actually hate euro. To be fair, it's an ugly currency. But it's real. You know, it's like I can hold it. You know what I mean? It's like all good.
Yeah, it's monopoly money, though.
I'll show you monopoly money. This is monopoly money right here. That's monopoly money. That's $1,000 right now. I was counting beforehand for my next holiday. So that's all declared, you know, that's stuff I had years ago. This is just my savings I've kept over the years. 100% I've added up. Wink.
But where is your next holiday? What do you want to do next?
So I've been back to Afghanistan, Tora Bora, and also what I'm going to do. So you know the Taliban merch I buy and resell? It's like really good business. So I'm going to buy the crappiest car I can, maybe for $600. I'm going to like write my Patreon members, you know, usernames on the actual car and stuff in Sharpie. We're going to put like anime body pillows inside and stickers and stuff. Fill the car with room of Taliban merch because you can't ship this stuff out. And if you take it on a plane with you, you're limited by how much baggage and weight and volume and all that nonsense. So we're going to drive all the way to England. We've got a few routes. One of them is going through Pakistan, then technically getting a shipping boat to Oman, and then Oman to Yemen, then Yemen, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Azerbaijan, and Armenia, and Georgia, and all these other places. Like, I might also pop through Iran if I have to. There's a chance you go through Turkmenistan, but it's a bit of a logistical pain. I need to go to the embassy to figure stuff out. But it's going to be a great little holiday. I'm going to film the entire thing, high quality. After that, I'm going to the Darien Gap. Have you heard of that, man?
It's in Central America, correct?
Yes, man, you're spot on. So it's between Colombia and Panama, and it's a dense jungle that's 80 miles long, really mountainous. There's a bunch of terrorists in there called Fox, and they're basically drug smugglers. They're always high as hell. They live in the jungle, you know, stress is high, their blood is boiling. So if they see a bunch of refugees going through the Darien Gap, which a lot do, a lot of refugees like Indians, you know, Pakistanis that want to go to the US, or any other people really, they can't get visas for Mexico because they go, yeah, we know what you're doing. So you have to get visas for Colombia or whatever, and then you just walk on foot through a Darien Gap. That's why 15% of people enter die, because they're not prepared for this. They just know it's the jungle. Like, oh, we got to cross the jungle? That's no problem. But it's tough, man. It's a tough walk. It's very humid too, and of course you got snakes that can kill you with one bite. You've actually got native uncontacted tribes in there potentially. Flash flooding happens. You know, diseases. So if you get malaria, or if you're just kicked out by some exotic disease, you're screwed. There's no way to get out. Basically, the tour guide who takes the illegal migrants. We'll just leave you. And you do find bodies occasionally. There are heads on spikes too. And if you're a woman going there, you just get raped by the FARC if they find you. So it's like a 1 in 10 thing. But it's horrific.
What do you want to get out of this trip? You just want to document walking through it? Or?
Yeah, man. So I'm going to be Pablo Escobar's brother. We want to do a Vice-style documentary thing. So I've been playing this for months, man. Actually, a year at this point. But yeah, Afghanistan holiday interrupted it. And then turns out Boulder bankrupt. Fuck hell, this guy. He's going before me, and that was my idea first. But I'm going to do a better video than him, 100%. So I'm going to get a handgun from Pablo Escobar's brother. I'm going to go through the Darien Gap. I'm going to film the whole thing, speak to people, get like a nice story. And then, because we're entering Panama illegally, we go and chill in Panama a little bit, you know, just get a tan, enjoy some drinks, and then do the whole thing again in reverse. Oh. And there's no one going down. There's no one going south. So after, I'll be the first person technically to in reverse. It's like 4 days in the jungle. Really dense jungle, by the way. And if that's if you keep keeping a good pace. If you get lost, you're screwed. There's no... The vegetation is so dense. Satellite phone doesn't work. GPS doesn't work. I guess compass, maybe. But too fair, it's boggy in some areas, so... If you just don't know the exact route, you're screwed.
Do you know the exact route? Or are you just going to try and
remember it? There's actually a solid footpath too, because so many migrants come through. I heard every single day about 500 migrants go through from different areas. So that's how many people are going to the US border every single day as well, pretty much. Minimum. So that's the numbers that have been reported. I know the route. But it's like, it's a jungle. There's no distinguishing features. If you get lost, you're screwed. Like, if you get disorientated, you're screwed. If you break a leg, dead, you have to crawl through 60 miles, which you could do. But then there's snakes on the ground, and in the middle of the night, you get bitten by something. There's very tropical animals. You can just be mugged by the FARC and they'll take everything away from you. Sometimes even clothes if you're wearing anything nice. So obviously you got to go humbly and quite light. So now he's going to be a camera guy. And obviously he's going to use his camera, so I don't have to use mine. So if I get taken, I'm like, uh-oh, you saw a disclaimer. I'm not responsible, hee-hee.
What do you bring in your backpack on that trip? Do you even bring one?
Yeah, man. So the good thing is the backpack's going to be very light. I'm going to bring a hammock with one of those enclosed net mosquito nets. So I can just hang it up between two trees. Most people sleep on the ground. Now you get bitten on, there's rats, you get snakes potentially. Suspended in the air, that's really compact, really light. I can take it anywhere. Water filtration systems, of course. Tons of food and supplements, medicine, first aid kits. I'll have a few meme things. That's what I want to. A few goofy things I can take with me. What else? Some hidden money in a concealed water bottle. Some money to Panama too. I guess my phone as well, obviously. Battery packs, of course. Loads of clean socks, by the way. So if you got passed through the jungle, river occasionally, it's very deep. So you do get wet and you get trench foot and you can have a lot of problems. So you need to keep your feet dry, a lot of stuff for that too. Disinfectant, of course, and just some spare clothes. It's actually going to be quite easy. A compass, of course, too. Turns out the compass app you can't rely on 100% for your global navigations when there's no charging stations in the Darien Gap. But a little bit of everything, man. But it'll be easier than you think because no sleeping bag, no hat, no tent, no mat. It's just going to be stuffed into a nice bag, which should be good because if it's so hot, you want to keep it light. You're welcome to come and put together your own thing as well.
I might join you. Tell the wife and kids I'll be back. I'm going to do a 10-day trip to the Darien Gap.
Yeah, just say, oh, honey, I'm going on a hike to Panama City. And they'll be like, oh, that's lovely. Panama City, oh, that's quite nice. Don't know much about Panama, but it's like beautiful skyscrapers on Google Images. But technically, you're going through the Darien Gap, man. Can't believe you're doing this, 100%. You know, before this, before we came on, ladies and gentlemen, 100%, you said, Mars, I want to come on the Darien Gap trip right now. Sign me up. I don't care about my wife and children. I need to go on this adventure right now. So I do appreciate the spirit, man. It's really it's really respectable. I do admire that.
You got to feel every once in a while. So you got to take a little trip to the Darien Gap.
Oh, man, I felt enough for a lifetime. It's a roller coaster of emotions, but it's so much easier than dealing with like the bureaucracy of things. And plus, I won't have to deal with women on the trip. Women very, very rarely make the trip because they basically are taken sex prisoners, so it's not really worth it for them. So it's like a woman retreat, tech retreat in the tropical jungle. I might get a lovely tan. Let's see, lovely holiday.
Lovely holiday.
It's better than England. It's better than England, man. Like, I go for shop, I see some inflation, they won't accept XYZ card, I can't pay them with cash in half the place I go to. There's some, you fill out this form, sir, and do this stuff on Excel and all this other nonsense. Hell no. Goofing off in war zones and the Darien Gap. And I got a bunch of Colombians pissing themselves and foaming at the mouth in my comments saying, what would you do voluntarily? It's horrible. I'm like, I'm going to have a good time. I can guarantee it. Like, if I get captured by a FARC, I'm going to probably walk out as friends. I'm just going to say they're my best buddies. They've invited me back to the coke factory hidden in the jungle anytime you want. You know, it's going to be one of those situations. I should not be underestimated. I'm going to have a lovely time. I'll bring you back something nice, like a cool rock or a leaf.
I'll take a leaf from the Darien Gap, if you're offering.
Amazing. Actually, yeah, that's what I might do for my followers as well. I might just get like a little 1 gram of dirt, like a vial, and then just ship that out for like $10, $15, $20 as a collectible because, you know, it's like Bella Delphine's bathwater. Just get some cool collectible. Because no one else is going to get, everyone wants a piece of the Darien Gap, but no one wants to go to the Darien Gap. You know what I mean? That's why we watch documentaries. We want to understand the place and have a feel for it. And to be fair, if I grab a bunch of leaves and epoxy them together into like a little into a little display. That could be really cool, man. Or even Polaroid photos and sign them and say number one of 500 and Polaroid costs, what, $1? Frame them. A frame would be $4 and shipping is $5. So we'll say $10 total. And we sell them for $35 each. And then that means $25 profit. You sell 500. Bada bing, you got some good money right there.
Yeah. Physical NFTs.
Yeah, so true, man. Speaking of physical NFTs, have I told you about my service I offer, the stone tablet thing?
No. Or, yeah, well, you'll put somebody's message and leave it where you go?
Yeah, man. So I've hopefully got someone lined up with a Daring Gap. Pays well, bloody hell. So I'll just say, hey, your name will be found there in, like, what, 10,000 years' time? Like, it's a jungle. Everywhere else you go in the world, you know, no one's going to know your name in 1,000 years' time, but one day that gets found up and they rediscover you because books aren't going to be around, it disintegrates. I guess the internet's going to evolve into something else, and where the data gets lost, like most of the old internet's lost already, so I'm not too sure if the new stuff will stick around. Like most YouTubers nowadays too, like the old original ones, you know, they've been forgotten about by most people. Stuff like that, really. You want your name to be uttered in 10,000 years' time. And if you got screw you money, why not? So I'm going to stick my name on there, a message and a QR code. So obviously that's going to be still around in 1,000 years' time with the links still working. And yeah, it's going to take you a Daring Gap, man. It's going to be solid. Client's happy. I'm happy. What a life, man.
You're just taking trips to make sure people are remembered into eternity.
Exactly, man, and hopefully I get remembered too. And plus, I'm making good money. Like, I think you know what this is like, my friend. You know when you work in a really good job, but it's one of those high-powered jobs where you got to work in the city centre. So that means you got to live in the city centre because you got to be up at the crack of dawn and you got to get home really late, so you can't commute. And because you live in the city centre, your money goes on rent, and obviously half of it's gone to taxes too. So after that, you left a piss all. And obviously, everything's expensive at the city centre too. So you basically, your relative cost of living for the city just sucks, despite all the work you're doing. So I feel like right now I'm earning really good money. And I'm not pissing it away because I'm going in the... Hey, man, sorry about that.
It's all good.
Hey, man, did you hear anything I said? Did it get recorded?
Yeah, heard most of it, and
that's weird.
Just gonna say yeah.
Yeah, so for some reason my screen just freezes, and then I just can't get anything back up. That's strange. My bad.
It's all good. I was gonna say you're certainly getting the most out of your time, which most Hell people yeah, can't man. Say.
We'll do something in person when we're back. By the way, that's a good use of my time because I love being in the studio. If guys don't know off camera, this guy's a real G, and the place he's set up is amazing. Beautiful office. And there's some lovely restaurants nearby. So that's the main reason to visit, you know, getting that Texas food. Yum, yum.
Yeah, well, let's go get some barbecue the next time you're here.
Yeah, man. Oh, I got some, like, barbecue from England. Just does not compare, man. Your stuff, oh, my. Yeah. I would move to Austin or some part of Texas just for the barbecue, man. Like, the weather's amazing. It's nice and sunny all the time. You know, it's better than LA. You got some right-wing people, some based free-thinking people who like cryptocurrency and all these other topics too. It's just a generally nice, pleasant place to live. It's better than England. That's all I can say.
It's certainly hotter here than it is in England. And
yeah, I can deal with that.
Definitely freer here as well in Texas.
Yeah, true. It's like saying, you know, one bathroom or bowel movement was better than the other. It's still a bowel movement at the end of the day. It's still shit. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, one shit was better than the other. I'm like, I guess. And it's still like something I flush down the toilet, you know. England freedom is cooked. But if you guys went back to the 70s and told people what's going on today, whoo, they would be pissed off. You know, I saw this meme going around too. It was like a 70s video of a newscaster going round, and there was a recent law saying you gotta wear your seatbelt, you can't drink and drive, basically. So we're speaking to some like Texans, and the guy goes, I work 12 hours a day, And I come home, I can't even drink any suds in my own car right home. One or two beers ain't no bad. It probably makes relaxed. And this goes to a woman just like with a baby in her seat. Like, you gotta wear a seatbelt when you're driving. You can't drink alcohol when you're driving. Next thing you know, we're becoming a communist country. I'm like, I'll send you afterwards if you want.
And I'm I've seen this.
Yeah, I'm actually so true, because in Afghanistan, no, like I said before previously, no seatbelt, you don't need a driver license, no car insurance, you just settle it on the side of the road with that person, maybe get the police involved if you need. Anything gets settled between people, just no bullshit, and some fake industry is based on actuary sciences. And we all know that nonsense, half is just made up.
It's the slow creep of the nanny state. You start with the seatbelts, and then it ends up with you not being able to send money to your friends because of what you said on Twitter.
I think at some point we'll colonize space, but we need to make one planet where it's just like Ted K-pilled, where it's just nature. You can just do whatever you want, and whenever you want to get on a space shuttle back home, if you really had enough of it. We need one place where it's just, there's government, but like minimal regulation, basically.
We have that just here in the United States. It's called Amish country. This is that experiment.
Yeah,
well,
but the Amish got told off for sending raw milk. And that wasn't a thing like 150 years ago, was it?
Well, funny you say that. Milk, raw milk is just milk.
Exactly, man. It's just normal milk. They use that word raw, like it's uncooked, it's unclean. But it's just normal milk. I guess we have filtered milk. That's why...
Pasteurized, that's what it's called.
Yeah, exactly. Now, it sounds like a nice word, like pasteurized, but I think people who have lactose intolerant for milk or like pasteurized milk, it's because you got taken away all the natural stuff out of it. Like, I've tried that stuff. Oh, it's so good, man. And from a cow with no chemicals too, like no hormones and estrogen blockers and steroids and all that other stuff.
Yeah, that's what we have here at the Saturday Farmers Market. We go to downtown. We get our raw milk from Richardson Farms. Shout out to Richardson Farms here in Texas. You can still get it.
Yeah, shout out to
They just won't sell it in stores. You have to go to the farmer and get it.
Yeah. Wink, wink, behind the deal, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's legal. It's legal in places like New Jersey, but here in Texas, you can buy raw milk.
Yeah, man. I want to supply breast milk. I just want to try it, man. I tried it probably when I was a kid, like 1 year old, pre-1 year old. You know, I want to go back to the struggle.
Back to the struggle, back to the teat.
Yeah, man, I wouldn't mind it. To be fair, I would just be like, yeah, good milk. It's like very sweet. Why not? And plus, I think if I get a wife and she becomes pregnant, man, I'm gonna be like,
oh god,
give me a cup, man.
I don't know if you're gonna want that. I don't think it tastes like the raw cow milk that you're used to.
All right, I can mix it in. I can make a nice hot chocolate, to be fair. There's got to be recipes out there. I mean, these women kind of eat own placentas. That's a bit silly. So it's like, you know, there's got to be something out there for it.
Yeah, you've got Logan, our producer, laughing out loud behind the monitor here.
How come?
Logan, what are your thoughts on raw milk?
I thought I didn't like milk until I had raw milk.
Okay.
Yeah, good man, honestly. Same too as well. It's like, you know, like semi-skimmed milk. Like, they take out even more milk from the milk for fat. That's the only good thing. I mean, it adds sugar. I mean, it's like all the other stuff, the powdered milk, and oh, they got soya milk. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, this is the government, the food pyramid, saying fat's bad, sugar's good. Here's your skimmed milk. Ridiculous.
You know what I eat most things nowadays? Like, I'm back at the gym. And I'm putting on decent muscle and size, and I'm going to unveil it one day when I'm at a stage I'm comfortable and happy with it. But most of the time, I just drink milk, protein shakes, and, like, you know, some fruit juices, whatever. And then just yogurt with protein powder. And then also just meat, just tons of meat, like eggs, tons of eggs too. And then the occasional piece of bread and stuff. I'm trying to keep lean, so I'm not always fully on carbs. But bloody hell, man, like, that's a great diet right there. And milk is a huge part of it, man. Oh. Yeah,
milk, beef, and eggs. Scrammy season. Yeah. That's how you bulk up.
Yeah, man. I think there was a document from ancient times showing, Oh yeah, the Chinese peasants eat gruel and wheat, and it kind of rots their teeth and makes them, you know, retarded basically, because you get that grain brain. You know, it makes you cloudy. It's like when you have it go into a food coma from eating so much carbs, you know, just mess with your brain, you know, think clearly. And he said when the Mongolians came in, they're obviously superior in every way. They're you know, they were very muscular, they were taller, well nourished, their teeth were fine, and more intelligent, just because they ate milk, eggs, yogurt, and meat. Like, it's slightly different, of course, but like, it's a general sentiment, you know, maybe you shouldn't eat, you know, 10 packets of Doritos and then complain on Twitter about the cost of living crisis.
Yeah. Don't follow the USDA food pyramid because it'll have you fat, oh, dumb.
Man, it's literally a pyramid scheme.
Literally. Literally.
Oh, man, yeah. Literally, it's so dumb, man. Like, I don't get the whole idea of pyramid, food pyramid. We had this in England too. And even back then, I thought it was stupid. I was like, why should I eat loads of carbs? That's terrible. That's how you get really fat and your brain just gets a bit silly. Like, I understand some of it is nice, but you don't need carbohydrates. Your body can produce it itself. Like, it's a tough switch to make and you crave that stuff. But bloody hell, man. Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it's led to an obesity and diabetes epidemic here in the United States, and people still don't understand that it's a large part of the health crisis that exists in this country. We're fat, dumb, and woefully out of shape.
Yeah, I mean, there are a certain class of Americans who are just very fit bodybuilders. You know, those Chad types that most people want to be, but then they realize, oh, I'm fat as fuck. I mean, never changes to. It's a very stark contrast in the world, because I imagine when you go on X and Instagram, mate, you come across, you know, those right-wing meme edits showing, hey, this is how you work out. Yeah, that stuff.
The vitality.
Yeah, section. The vitality stuff. I mean, it's left-wing stuff where it's like, oh, I learned about diet culture. It disgusts me because acceptance of all sizes. They look for profile picture. It always confirms their opinion. You know what I mean? They're really not great looking, to put it lightly. And you kind of just go, yeah, ugly people are ugly because they're ugly on the inside a lot of the time.
Yeah, and that's actually going back to like optimism for the future. That's something that makes me optimistic as well, is that clown world's gotten to such a state where they're trying to force this on you. Everything is beautiful, but we're humans, and beauty, I believe, is objective. You can look at something and have a natural reaction to it, and I think people are beginning to... Oh, you too, Miles.
Oh, thanks, babe. Oh, you know, I'm your favorite egg. Good man.
It's nice. You're going to be, are you officially accepting baldness? Is that why you shaved your head?
Yeah, man. So I'm creating a new channel. It's called Bolder Bankrupt. No, I'm joking. Yeah, I was just thinking about Joy's name. No, I like the kind of a bold look. I was on a bus today on public transport. I was speaking to someone, and then I had this blonde girl just looking at me, and she was dead cute, and she was smiling. She was, eyes were darting away, but then she would look at me again, stare and smile. And I was like, this bold look actually does quite well. Like, I get small talk now. Because unless if you have a full, lush head of hair, you know, thinning heads looks terrible on everyone. If you pull off a bold look, so you need a tan, you need to be lean, of course. I bought a tanning bed, by the way. So there's a tanning bed downstairs. It just came today. It's like $500, and it's got like 200 hours left on the bulbs. And it'll take, what, $150 to replace all the bulbs. Nice and easy. It's Philips too, so it's like a proper model, like from a few years ago. Solid. So I'm going to use that for like 1 hour a day. So I'm just going to look max, and I'm going to look completely different. And hopefully I should like not like be a guy from American X. But, man, or like if I grow up a goatee, I look like a budget Walter White, you know what I mean? But I'm just hoping I can look decent. I mean, at some point, maybe get a hair transplant just to see if I want to grow it out. It could be an option. Yeah, but it's like, yeah, if I become rich, I'll just be like, if I become rich, the first thing I'm doing is removing my appendix. I remove my appendix. I get like a full check. I have my, I have my tonsils removed. I have one of my wisdom teeth removed. If I become rich overnight, I would just do a bunch of medical stuff. I think it's cool. just in case. And then there was a point to that too. And then afterwards too, I would just get my hair transplanted. So yeah, it's an option. I just want the best one. Why not? Because, you know, it just looks good at the end of the day if you do have it. And it's just women like the idea of that rough head. You know what I mean? Like the bristle almost.
They do. As somebody with a receding hairline and thinning hair, I will be joining you at some point with the bald look.
I saw you. Your hair was fine, man. What happened? Stress or?
No, just getting older.
Yeah, I guess you. How old are you now, actually? I'm asking.
I'm only 32.
See, you're doing more than fine, man. I'm 24 and my hair's all gone, so you made it quite far compared to me. Well, it's all the stress of being in England, man. That's the real struggle.
Well, I may have the hair, but you have the adventures, which I'm a bit envious of.
Yeah, man. Yeah, pretty much just goofy-ass guy. Risks his life every single month in a different country. Doesn't do any business for 8 months. That's solid life. No, I'm kidding. No, honestly, I do love the Avengers. I live for it. I can't imagine going back to something else right now. Like, I'm being invited to speak at universities, and I'm putting together huge gold mine deals, and this business is blowing up, and we're making Vice-style documentaries. I'm like... I can't imagine owning, like, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 a month in England, working at 9 to 5 and coming home miserable and keeping the same routine and small talk. Like, oh, do you see they updated the water cooler now that you can have mango spring added to it? Like, oh, I want to try this new ready meal. Like, shut the fuck up. I just don't want to do that stuff. Excuse my language. But I don't understand how people exist like that. You know, I've met those people and it just feels like there's something's lacking, some sort of ambition. I think that's the ambition I've built America. I think the adventurous British people, which were the best pure ones, left England to found even better England called America. And then that's why America's so great today. You know, God bless America for that. And now England's cooked because all the great adventurers have left and the ones who are still there have been strangled a little bit, I imagine. And then just me, I just don't know where I fall. It's own category. But yeah.
Well, people may not want to do exactly what you're doing in terms of like going to Afghanistan, but at the very least, that silent majority out there that does work the 9 to 5 and they have that burning, screaming voice in their minds that's saying, you're not supposed to do this, you're not supposed to do this. They're taught, you got to do this. And I think you're an example of like, no, not necessarily. It may not be the same exact life that you expect, but there's some adventure.
Yeah. You've been programmed by the media, like everyone has, but, you know, you go to this country, you just instantly blow up. Like, you know, there's a sniper guy just, you know, hiding out right outside the airport. You take one step out, white dude, cock, and then bang, and head explodes. No, it's just a normal place. Like, people live there, it's every day, there's markets and stuff, there's, like, people watch anime in their private homes, whatever. It's weird. But most people don't understand this. They think their life is in crazy danger. I understand if you've got obligations, but it's like, it's embarrassing as an American that you can't go to a place with balls and actually, you know, get your way out there, fumble your way into something great. It's a very cooked mindset where you're just hiding and like, oh, I can't go to that part of the world. Why not? It's the world. God gave us the world to explore it and do what we want of it. So I'm going to, like, explore and spread the word of Christ where I can. And that's some of the stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and you're confirming a suspicion that I've had for a while, which is that the media, the government, particularly here in the West, tries to scare people on purpose to not let them go experience it for themselves and create their own thoughts and perspectives.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Do you want me to tell you a secret? I'll tell you a secret.
I'd like a secret.
So as soon as the fall of Kabul happened right at the beginning, I knew... Oh, the journalists are going to try and villainize me. And I thought, yeah, you know, I'm just going to play into it and get paid. So I called them up and I was like, hey, can I tell you a story and frame it in such a way where it just, you know, seems very stupid and whatever, and leave out key details. And then you pay me because it's such an absurd story, you know, a few hundred dollars here and there. And then obviously it gets published and some boomers get pissed off. But then the young ones think that's funny. Get sent to my Twitter and social media, and then they buy my merch and they all become followers. That's what I've been doing with a journalist. I call them up. I go, ring, ring. Shalom, my friend. How you doing, dude? Anyway, got a new story there. yeah, I did some business in Afghanistan. No, we'll just say, idiot tourist goes to Afghanistan, almost dies. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, just include my Twitter, boom, 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 and then the only person misinformed and missing out is the general public. It's just a money-making scheme, man. It's just everyone wants clicks, everyone wants attention. I just want to goof off and then just buy a house in Argentina and flee there to disappear just like my German great-grandfather.
Growth hack. Use the media to growth hack.
That's exactly, what... yeah. And just have fun harassing the media.
Yeah. It is that we need to make fun of these power structures where it's the media, the politicians, the bankers.
Yeah. Exactly. It's a clown world. You just gotta have some fun there. Like, once as well, I just walked into my... I was walking past and I had like a few grand in this one account. I've got a few bank accounts, of course, like you should. And one of them was just like, it has like, well, I think it was like $4,000 or $5,000 in. It was like, you know, just one of my backup ones for something. And I just walked in there. And I did like their service at one point, like a few weeks ago. So I just walked in and said, hey, I want to withdraw all my money. And then I did. And then I shut my account. And then I walked in the next day and deposited it and then took it out just to annoy the tellers. I did that like 3 or 4 times until they just got really fed up with me. And I think that was funny, man. You can just mess with institutions all the time. There's so much you can abuse, so many systems you can have fun with.
Yeah, we need more of it. Miles, we're way over time. I know it's getting late where you are.
No, it's all good, man. Honestly, anything for you, babe. I'll make time for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm very happy to see that you're alive, well, thriving, happy.
Yeah, man, it's at least like, I mean, I think I've never been better. I guess it was kind of good for me almost. It gave me kind of a break and some time to think about what I've learned. I've learned I should always double down and always do crazier stuff. So yeah, I think if anything, it made me more like this. But next time as well, when I'm in Texas, we'll do something in person. We'll grab a drink. Because I need a drink after this ordeal. I've just gone through beforehand, you know, 8 months bloody hell, and then all this other stuff too. It'll be good, man. And also, do you mind if I plug my socials?
No, not at all.
Yeah, lads, if you're watching this and you've gone this far, well done on your endurance against my rambling. And if you would love to follow my adventures, trust me, it's gonna be going down in history. It's a Vice style documentaries. It's very absurd goofing off, and you will be missing out if you do not have a look at it. I'm Lord Miles, and I pull off the impossible all the time, the last great British explorer. Google Lord Miles, search on Twitter /X, Instagram, YouTube, iFunny, all these other platforms, and you'll be along for the adventure. I promise you won't regret it. And if you want to do some business with me, you can email me. The contacts are all in the description. It's all good, man. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to hearing from you and receiving your likes or maybe your hate messages. I actually encourage haters to come after me. It's like I dox myself on purpose, you know? They never turn on my door when they say, you know. Anyway, I'm going off topic again. But keep on goofing off and going on adventures, dude.
We're going to link to all that in the show notes. Lord Miles, one of a kind. A modern day adventurer. Thank you for joining us again.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Peace and love, freaks. Dickie.